Well, I think it's worked. I think we've knocked James out, haven't we, there? He's gone completely. Excellent. Thank you to Helen and to Jane for doing our readings today. In that first reading that Helen read to us, it's talking about faith. And it says to us, now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. And I thought I'd just talk for a bit about faith in God. What does it mean? How can I have faith in God? How can I actually come to God? Because many people automatically assume that religion is about being a good person, about living a better life. Perhaps, perhaps they see Christians and church people and they think, oh, well, they're obviously good people, aren't they? Perhaps, I don't know, perhaps you give them that impression. Wouldn't that be lovely? But even if that's the end result of faith in Christ, it's not actually the aim of faith. It's not actually why we become Christians or believe. Nor is it the way to faith. It's not how to believe in God by being a good person and behaving well. In fact, here's the thing, living a good life is dangerous. It actually causes a problem for you if you're trying to have faith in God. Vicar, that's a very strange thing to say. Well, let me just explain for a moment. Jesus came to earth to die on the cross for us. He was called, actually, in a play of a few years ago, the man born to die. That's why he came to earth. That's why the cross that you can see up there is the symbol of Christian faith. Because Jesus' death on the cross is the central event and action. That's why we talk about Holy Week and Good Friday and Easter. That's why it's a crucial festival for the church. And as Jesus died on the cross, he took the brunt of what we deserved, the penalty for sin. He suffered for us and for our wrongdoing. And he taught the people, his friends and followers, that what he was doing as he went to die on the cross was like a sacrifice, like his death was on behalf of us, suffering for us. He also taught that he was a bit like a doctor who'd come to cure a sickness. And he said to them, it's not the healthy people who need a doctor. It's actually the sick who need the doctor. He said, I've come not to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. That's why in the promises earlier, we asked the parents and godparents on behalf of James to say, I renounce evil. I repent of sin. I turn away from all those things that are wrong. And then, of course, I turn to Christ as Saviour and Lord. Now, when Jesus explained that to people, that he'd come for sinners and not for the righteous, that caused a real problem in his day. People were, first of all, puzzled by that, but then they were also annoyed. They found it hard to understand because people expected Jesus to hang around with good people, righteous people, the people who were doing well. But instead, he hung around with lepers, people with skin diseases and so on, the disabled. He hung about with the guys who were possessed with spirits. We heard that, didn't we, in the reading that Jane read. He hung about with the weirdos, the mental cases, the people who everyone else backed away from. He hung about with the prostitutes and the dodgy drug dealers and so on, the gangsters. In short, he went to the people who needed him and who wanted help. And he stayed away from the people who didn't need him, frankly. Now, the dodgy crowd were delighted by that, as you'd expect. They thought, oh yeah, he's come to us. But the religious lot, the goody-goodies, they were infuriated by that. They'd spent all their lives trying to behave well, trying to be good people, and now they were being given the cold shoulder by Jesus. And Jesus explained. He explained to both groups. He said, look, God does want you to be good. He wants you to not sin in your lives. But part of that is being humble and admitting your need and admitting your faults and failings. Not to be proud of the good bits of your character, but to be honest about the bad bits of your character. The doctor, if I can just go back to that image, the doctor wants people to come into the surgery and tell him what's wrong. Doesn't want people to stand outside the surgery telling everybody about their good lifestyle and how everything's going well. The doctor wants you to come in and be straight with him. Now, I meet lots of people who tell me that, frankly, they're not religious, Vicar. And what they mean by that is they don't come to church every Sunday religiously. But in the next sentence, they tell me that they live a good life and they don't harm a soul and they're always there to help anyone who's in need. Now, that's a problem. Living a good life is not wrong, but actually telling me and telling everybody else about it and being a bit proud of it, that is a problem. Because God actually wants people who know they need help. God wants people who are willing to accept help. Not defensive people who try to justify themselves in front of others. He wants people who come to him and ask for forgiveness. Not people who claim that they have no need of forgiveness, thank you very much. So how do you do that? If you wanted to do that, if you wanted to come to God, if you wanted to ask for his help, if you wanted to start a relationship with him and come to faith in him, well, it's actually very simple. You just ask. You just ask. That's actually what prayer is, just speaking to God and asking. You don't need anybody else. This is between you and God. You can speak very quietly if you want. You can even just think it, because God's got very, very good hearing, and he can even hear the thoughts inside your head. Now, that's a little bit scary, actually. But it also means that you can pray to him. You've got access to God if you want to, when you want to. You can do it later on, like tonight, or you can do it here in church. And in a moment, I'll give you a chance to do that if you want to pray a prayer along with me. It's not a difficult thing to do. Somebody once said that becoming a Christian, the entrance fee is nothing, but the daily subscription is everything. Think about that for a moment. The entrance fee is nothing, but the daily subscription is everything. Now, I actually did that many years ago, and I have to say that was the best decision I ever made in my whole life. I hope my wife will forgive me. She's sitting here. She was the second best decision I made in my life. But actually deciding to be a Christian and to believe in God and to follow Jesus was the best decision that I ever made in my life. It's starting a friendship with God, a lifetime friendship with the Almighty, the Creator. And who wouldn't want to be friends with God? Who wouldn't want to have the Almighty batting for you, on your side? Saint Augustine, writing a couple of years before AD 400, so that's a while ago, that's before this church was built, There might have been a little wooden shack here, who knows, something like that. Saint Augustine wrote this, "You, God, have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." I think he had it right, actually. Sometimes we only appreciate that after we've actually become Christians and put our faith in God, and we suddenly think, oh, I just feel so peaceful. Everything's slotted into place. For the first time, perhaps, I feel normal. Saint Augustine, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." If you have trouble imagining what God is like, then just think of Jesus, the Jesus we heard about in our readings, our Bible stories, the Jesus you know about from all the stories in our Bibles. Think of Jesus, because he is showing God to us, showing us what God is like, showing us how God behaves by giving himself for us. Now I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment, and if you would like to pray along with me, to pray to God and to pray for faith in God, then just sort of echo this prayer in your mind and heart under your breath and pray along with me. If you've already prayed this prayer and you are a Christian, then do pray for others. Why not? And ask God to speak to them. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. Perhaps just take a moment to name anything that's on your mind at the moment. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.